This is a story about the power of media beyond ratings and even simple election results. This is a look back at how a daring and opportunistic campaign commercial changed one election in 1988, but then went on to fundamentally alter the U.S. criminal justice system. See if you don't recognize a name that became as familiar as the candidates themselves.
Bush and Dukakis on crime. Bush supports the death penalty for first-degree murderers. Dukakis not only opposes the death penalty, he allowed first-degree murderers to have weekend passes from prison. One was Willie Horton, who murdered a boy in a robbery, stabbing him 19 times. Despite a life sentence, Horton received 10 weekend passes from prison. Horton fled, kidnapped a young couple, stabbing the man and repeatedly raping his girlfriend. Weekend prison passes. Dukakis on crime.
That factually correct but wildly distorted claim about prison release programs and the Democratic candidate for president would harden crime policy and end prison reform in the United States for a generation. The Marshall Project and its chief journalist Bill Keller points to this cleverly pushed button of fear as the beginning of a tough-on-crime agenda, the consequences of which we are seeing playing out in our streets today.
Willie Horton is the symbol of how difficult it was, how criminal justice reform of any kind was a third rail in politics. The first person to use the issue was Al Gore in a Democratic debate in the primary, debating Michael Dukakis, and he raised the issue of Dukakis having supported furloughs for prisoners, including murderers. He didn't name Willie Horton, but he raised the issue. Atwater and his people went way beyond that. They framed an ad that is chilling and kind of classic in its way, featuring a portrait of this very scary-looking, disheveled, wild-eyed black man who, as Atwater once said, by the end of this campaign, you're going to think that Willie Horton is Michael Dukakis' running mate. The astounding fact is that at the time, all 50 states had furlough programs for prisoners, including in many states, murderers. Even Ronald Reagan, when he was governor of California, had a furlough program, and there was an episode where, or twice, I think, inmates who were out on furloughs in California during Reagan's watch committed murders. You know, Reagan's defended the program and said, you know, nobody's perfect.
What do you think the impact of the Willie Horton ad and its premise was on the criminal justice system and who ended up in prison in the years since that campaign?
I think it had a tremendous impact. It taught Democrats that this was an issue where they had to be more Catholic than the Pope, tougher than tough. I think you can draw a line between the Willie Horton ad in 1988 and Bill Clinton's tenure as president, who passed the 1994 Crime Act, which included nearly $10 billion for building more prisons, 100,000 more cops on the street, took away Pell education grants for prison inmates. And that, I mean, he wasn't exceptional. That law was actually drafted by a senator named Joe Biden. I don't mean to say that what the Democrats were doing wasn't ever heartfelt or didn't, you know, wasn't, in their view, a proper response. But there was nobody calling for furlough programs or sentence reductions or offering educational opportunities to inmates. That was just untouchable. And the Willie Horton ad has inspired copycat ads in campaigns across the country and still does. You still see it, especially in states where judges and prosecutors are elected and where the whole campaign is about how they're going to administer justice. And you see these Willie Horton-style ads about that, you know, will flash a portrait of the candidate who's being reviled next to some inmate, you know, who looks in his mugshot like the devil incarnate.
And the devil incarnate is a good way of describing the sort of permanent impact on Willie Horton himself, who you interviewed, calls himself William Horton. You interviewed him in prison. What are we to make of William Horton? Is he a sympathetic character? Is he someone who got caught in the wheels of politics in America and his life really has nothing to do with Michael Dukakis or the criminal justice system?
The point of the piece is not at all that Willie Horton was wronged, but he was used. He was a convenient tool and a kind of politics that was at the very least fear-mongering, and I think it's fair to say was race-baiting. I think it had echoes of the earlier sort of Southern strategy of the Republicans, which was to play on white anxiety.
Have the tables turned? Have we reached a point now where you can actually campaign on prison reform, on too many people being convicted, on law enforcement officers behaving in a way that causes instability in American cities, and you can almost have campaign ads of the Freddie Grays and the Michael Browns of the world to go against the sort of traditional law and order ideology?
I think there's some reason to think that that things have changed, that Willie Horton's potency has been diminished. You certainly see it in the fact that a number of Republicans, including four or five of the Republican presidential candidates, are advocating criminal justice reforms. This is yet to be fully tested. It may very well get tested in the 2016 round because it does look like criminal justice is going to be one of those issues that you're going to have a position on.
And it's all about what we fear at the moment. And maybe it's, you know, Arab-looking terrorists right now.
Right. Other nightmares have sort of taken our imagination. Plus, you have crime is at a sort of plateaued at a historic low. You have a whole generation that's grown up since Willie Horton, since the crack panic, and since the crime rate was high. You know, I think the millennials are likely to be considerably more sympathetic to somebody who's talking about prison reform rather than lock them up and throw away the key.
Bill Keller is editor-in-chief of The Marshall Project. Thanks so much.
Thank you.